Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Bring Back the Bustle, a podcast about revitalizing rural America. I'm Siobhan Jones, your host. Today, we're discussing historic tax credits as a financing tool in rural downtown communities. When you visit rural communities, often downtown has become a ghost town. Many buildings are vacant, some are completely run down. Often, these buildings are old. Some have architectural significance. Others are significant to a time of growth and commerce in rural America. Putting those buildings back in service is a huge step towards bringing back the bustle, because we're not rehabbing just to make downtowns pretty again. We're investors and property owners. We're rebuilding because we see demand from potential customers who have money to patronize the businesses we're bringing to downtown buildings. So where is this episode going? This episode will cover historic tax credits as a standalone financial resource for rehabbing downtown districts. We'll also discuss the amazing benefits of using historic tax credits in opportunity zones. So not as a standalone financial resource, but as a combined resource in an opportunity zone. Remember, in our last episode, we discussed how to get tax-free earnings or appreciation on investments held in opportunity zones. Now, we're going to talk about how to get free money to build in the opportunity zone in the first place by using historic tax credits. Okay, I realize that this will be the second episode in a row where we discuss how to make money revitalizing rural America. While this is certainly a podcast for investors, it is also a podcast for rural residents. It's a podcast about rural life and how to support it. So the next episode after today will be about rural culture, how to preserve it, and how to assimilate new residents into it, like a small melting pot, since the United States itself is a big melting pot. That episode is important for investors to listen to as well, because these rural residents are the transplants to rural areas are our customers. Without customers, you can't make money. So everyone, including rural employers, should tune back in next week for a rural life episode of Bring Back the Bustle. But today, we're still talking about money. After all, money is necessary if you want to rebuild something. As I said earlier, most rural towns have a historic district or a downtown area where business was centered. Some of the buildings may be in such disrepair that it's tempting to tear them down. Don't. Because there is money available for preserving our American history. Think of when you travel abroad and you go to centuries-old towns in Greece or Italy and walk on cobblestone streets and drive down narrow, winding roads that represent how those communities functioned in the old days, how they developed, and how they continue to evolve in modern times. Instead of tearing down everything and making it shiny and new in America, we can preserve our story as well. Historic tax credits are a way to finance the preservation of the American story. We can use these buildings to house businesses that are in demand today. I went to Croatia a couple of years ago, and the hotel I lived in for a week was in the Diocletian Palace, built in the 3rd century AD. That's 1,800 years ago, 1,800 years ago. That's amazing to me. It's still standing. It's a UNESCO site. Part of it is ruins that can't be salvaged, and part is hotels, shops, museums, restaurants. And I lived in the remodeled rooms of an apartment for a week. I had cable TV, internet, a washer dryer. The apartment was soundproof because of the age and the materials they used back then. The exposed stone walls were stunning. The wall art was ancient artifacts that were inside a locked glass, a case, so that guests couldn't touch them, but we could look at them and feel a connection with the past. That location enriched my trip because I felt a warmth and a peacefulness that just can't be replicated in cold, minimalist new buildings. America's only 250 years old. Some of the buildings we're looking to preserve are a century old, or maybe more. They reflect our origins and the rapid growth of our economy and the ingenuity of the people who have led our economic development. So let's talk about historic rehabilitation tax credits, or HTCs, as they're known. I was going to bring an historic preservation expert to talk about HTCs, but what I realized when I thought about it is that you're an investor or a property owner. You don't need to get into the weeds on HTCs. You just need to understand the concept, how HTCs work, why we love them at the Rural Fund, and whether they can benefit you as a property owner or as an investor. And I'm really the best person to tell you that because I know how to explain things so that people know what the heck I'm talking about. So let's dig in. Historic tax credits are investment credits that you can use as a payment source for income taxes owed to the IRS or to some states. So HTCs are money. You can pay your taxes with money, or you can pay them with tax credits just as easily. Each tax credit is equal to a dollar. There are different kinds of tax credits, and we're talking about historic tax credits, or HTCs. To get HTCs, you have to rehab historic properties. You spend money rehabbing historic properties, then the government refunds your money when you pay your taxes. So that's what historic tax credits are. There are some steps you have to take to get your money back. And there are even steps you can take to get the money advanced to you if you don't have it to begin with. I have to talk about those steps in enough detail for you to decide if this is for you or not. So that's what's going to happen for most of the remainder of this session. I want to start by talking about how HTCs can benefit local property owners. I see HTCs as a way to avoid leaving the locals behind. Often, when new money comes into a community, the investors don't think about the locals. They choose an opportunity zone, they get the benefit of tax-free appreciation, they provide for their own employees in some cases, you know, wall them off from the rest of the community, and that's bad for the locals. Most of the downtown buildings are owned by local residents, not the government. If the owner rehabs the building and attracts a tenant, that creates a small income stream for the owner. A building that wasn't bringing in any money becomes a source of rental income, and that's better than nothing. But in reality, it's small potatoes, that rent is. Toward the end of this episode, I'll tell property owners how to get a bigger piece of the pie than that small rental income stream. But first, let's talk about how to get these historic tax credits. The historic tax credit application process is a three-step process. It's actually three separate applications, and it costs about $10,000 in government fees. First, you have to get the property designated as historic by the National Register of Historic Places. That's one application. The second application, you have to work with preservation experts, people who understand the rules regarding historic tax credits. They'll tell you how to preserve the historic elements of the building you're about to rehab. And you put that in your second application. That's your rehabilitation plan almost. Then the third application is where you prove that you stuck to the plan and you preserved the historic elements of the building as you said you would. Even for a relatively small building, you're talking about more than a year of work, plus the cost of the experts and the application and shelling out for the contractor yourself because you haven't gotten to the point where you can get it advanced yet. You have to bring in a special investor to get the money advanced. If you do all of that though, you can get a tax credit for much of what you spent. Not all of the spending, but much of it. Now, in order to use a tax credit though, you have to have tax liability. And you need to have that tax liability right away because historic tax credits expire a little each year. Now, I pride myself on being a pretty clear communicator. So if you rewind what I just said and listen to it again, you'll get it if you didn't get it already. But if this is all starting to sound a little too risky for you or like a little bit more work than you want to do, keep listening because I'm not one to raise problems that I don't have a solution for. I'm going to solve the problem of property owners having to spend cash up front and vet experts and have tax liability to apply the credits against. At the end of this podcast, I'm going to solve all of those problems. But right now, we do know at least how to get the historic tax credits, right? We know that there's a process in place, that it's clear, that it's well documented, and that it's not a secret. It's not something that's, you know, only certain people can get or know how to get. Even though all of that's the case, I do not recommend historic tax credits for property owners that are not in rebounding communities. Communities where investment is already being made. Why is that? Because your projected rents may not be worth the effort and the expense of getting the HTCs. If you're in a community with low rents, you won't make much income by rehabbing your property. In fact, if you have a building that will house one or two tenants instead of a building that can house 20, I don't think rent is a good play at all in terms of monetizing that asset, that building. It's better than nothing, but it's not real money. It's not generational wealth. It's just income to offset some of your current expenses, living expenses. So keep listening to this episode and we'll show you how to turn that building into generational wealth. But we've been talking about local property owners for a while now, so let's talk about investors, how investors can use historic tax credits. From an investor standpoint, the coolest thing about historic preservation is a practice known as stacking tax incentives. You'll recall that rural opportunity zones already have the tax benefit of tax-free appreciation on the gains earned on rural investments, but there's even more. If we rehab historic properties instead of building new ones, we qualify for tax credits on top of the opportunity zone tax benefits of tax-free appreciation. Recall, if you will, that the opportunity zone benefits that we talked about in the last episode eliminate tax liability on both the money we invest in the opportunity zone and on the appreciation we earn during our holding period, right? So if your tax liability is zero, what more could there possibly be? Well, when you invested your money in the fund, we used it to acquire properties, to rehab properties, to outfit properties for the operation of whatever business we were going to put into it to serve the local residents, our customers. If we use historic buildings, we can get that money back that we spent on construction. And when we get the money back, the value of your shares goes up. Think about that. Rewind it and listen to it again, and I swear you'll get it. Remember, we're starting operating businesses like Epicurean markets or hotels, health clubs. Those businesses generate tax liability. The historic tax credits can reduce or eliminate the taxes on those business operations. And if we don't have to pay taxes on annual operations, the value of your shares goes up. So every tax benefit that we can find and stack on top of the opportunity zone benefits causes the value of your shares to go up. That's why our fund, the Rural Fund, only invests in opportunity zones. By stacking historic tax credits on top of opportunity zone benefits, investors get tax-free income and tax-free appreciation. Sadly, Historic tax credits only last for 5 years, not the entire 10-year holding period required under the Opportunity Zone rules. But I'm certainly not going to complain about being allowed to run a business for 5 years without paying federal or state taxes on the profits. Plus, at the Rural Fund, we use even more incentives than HTCs and Opportunity Zones. And we keep stacking incentives on top of tax incentives until we get to the point where there's just nothing left to be paid in taxes. That's how we play the game. Now, back to local property owners. I said I'm going to fix the problem of low rents and tons of work to get historic tax credit benefits for local owners. But there's one other thing I should explain before I fix those problems. And that's that Opportunity Zone benefits don't apply to existing owners of property. So if you own a building in an Opportunity Zone, you cannot get tax-free appreciation for that building. That's because the Opportunity Zone law is designed to spur new investment. You're an old investor. So local property owners can't stack HTCs on top of OZs. You have to pay taxes on any appreciation of your asset. So that adds to the problems considerably, doesn't it? So to summarize those problems again, you can't make much money on a rental income stream. You have to spend the money upfront to rehab your buildings. And you can't get the tax-free appreciation for being in an Opportunity Zone. Those are the problems for local property owners. But there's a way to fix all of that. Exchange your property for shares in the Rural Fund. Then you're magically an investor and not a property owner. And all the benefits that are inure to Opportunity Zone owners and the HTC benefits can be yours because the fund owns the property. The fund has to get the historic tax credits. The fund has to spend the upfront money to rehab the property. You own shares, and indirectly, you own part of the business that operates from the building and the other buildings owned by the fund. So you get tax-free appreciation if you hold the investment long enough for the required holding period. Therefore, if you own historic commercial property in an Opportunity Zone, a rural one, I recommend that you go to our website, which is www.ruralqrof.com. That's RuralQrof.com, RuralQrof.com, and read about submitting a project to the Rural Fund. It'll tell you how to tell us about your property, and then we can tell you whether it works for any projects that we have coming up. Once you've read our website, there's a link on our website to our calendar. You can schedule a consultation where we will answer your questions. You can bring any advisors with you that you want. So let me summarize today's episode. I'm sure we'll have an opportunity on this podcast, Bring Back the Bustle, to talk about historic preservation in a less investor-centric way than we did today. It's a topic that deserves to be discussed from an artistic and cultural perspective, more than I was able to touch on today when we had a different focus. We need to talk about how to blend the new with the old from a sustainability standpoint. So I expect to revisit the topic of historic preservation with less of a focus on money in a couple of months or so. Today's topic, though, was how to use historic tax credits as a financing tool in rural downtown communities. And the way to do that, we discovered during this episode, is to stack them with Opportunity Zone benefits and with other tax incentives that we're going to talk about over the weeks ahead. You do that to increase the value of your shares in an Opportunity Zone fund to earn even more tax-free appreciation on an historic project than you could earn on a new build. Okay? That's how you do it. I'm Siobhan Jones. Join me next Monday to talk about rural life, how to get the most out of rural life, how to integrate and assimilate city slickers or technocrats into rural communities. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too.